My name is Claire Hunter, and I'm interviewing Ed and Bob Simpson at the second annual block party on Grandin Road on Saturday, May 20th. Okay. So tell us a little bit. Were you both born here?
We were both born in Roanoke.
Yeah.
Myself in 1939, Ed in 43. Yeah. We first moved to the Raleigh Court area. Well, actually, we were born.
We lived
on Greenwood Road.
Really?
But when you were born, they lived in a different house.
When I was born, we lived at the corner of Greenwood and Sherwood, the little Dutch colonial there. And we lived upstairs in an apartment. It was the home of Pete Miller, who was an architect, and he had designed that house. And he and his wife rented out the upstairs. So that's where I was born. Then it wasn't enough room when my brother came along, so we moved up the street to another upstairs apartment in one of the homes about two-thirds of the way up the block.
What do you remember what number that was?
I have no
idea. Same side?
I can identify the house. I know which house it is, but I don't know what the number was.
Yeah, I was by there recently.
What does it look like?
It's beautiful. Yeah. Of course, Sherwood, I think, was in general.
Sherwood and Greenwood are I think the streets. Greenwood is I think the street in Raleigh Court.
What brought your parents here? Were they natives too?
Well, let's see. My father was born in Oriskany, Virginia. Do you know where Oriskany is? No. Well, it's not too far from Newcastle.
Okay.
All right. And then his father worked in the mines in Oriskany. And then later, we don't know the whole story, but later they moved to Newcastle. They bought a home in Newcastle where my father grew up. And then my mother grew up in the house next door to him. And he graduated from Roanoke College in 1928. I guess he went back to Newcastle and they were married in 1931.
38.
What am I saying?
38.
Yeah, 38.
I think they were talking about getting married, and the Depression came along, so they put it off.
And then I guess it was shortly after that that they moved to Roanoke, and that's when you were born in 1939.
He moved to Roanoke to work for the railroad, Norfolk and Western. And they were married in 38, and he was called. He had worked for the railroad when he first graduated in 28, was laid off because of the Depression, and they called him back in 37. And he worked there until he retired.
So he was
retired in 71.
Do you have brothers and sisters as well that were born here?
Nope.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Okay. And you talked about being an architect. What do you do?
Well, I'm retired now. I taught high school in Florida for 33 years. I graduated from Tech in 68 and moved to Miami in June of 69, and basically have been there ever since. In fact, that's still my home. I come up now that I'm retired. My wife and I come up here. We're kind of new at it now because I've only been retired a year, but we'll come up here for probably 6 months in the year and then go back.
Where do you live now? Do you still live in this area?
I still live in Roanoke. I'm out in the Windsor Hills area, off of Mudlick Road, Chesterton Street.
Mm-hmm. You lose points because you're not in Raleigh Court anymore.
I know it.
No, but you have to tell us how things have changed. What did you enjoy doing when you grew up here on Greenwood Road? What were the things you liked
about
the most?
That was the one thing I thought about talking about when they asked me. I had no idea what I would say. But
Actually, we didn't grow up on Greenwood Road.
Yeah.
From Greenwood Road, we moved to an apartment over on Franklin Road. And after a few years there, we moved back. They had just built a new set of apartments on Grandin Road, right down here,
across the street from the post office.
Across from the post office, that large apartment in there. And we lived there for a year. Then my parents bought the house that we lived in from then on Carter Road.
Which is the house that
that's the house he has now.
I have now.
Where
2031, next to door to Dan and Brenda Wright, if you know where their house is.
The White House.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So you asked what, you know, what we did. And I remember how great it was to be, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range where I was allowed to just go. And Shriners Hill, this was before Patrick Henry was built. I mean, it was just an enormous woods. And a good friend of mine that I met the first day of first grade and that we're still friends with, he lived down on Grandin Road. And we spent, I guess, you know, probably every day, you know, on Shriners Hill. We knew...
Exploring.
Yeah, exploring. I mean, we knew it backwards and forwards. At the time, the city used to dump their leaves there in the fall, huge mountains of leaves. And so, you know, that was a big thing to go over and play on the... playing the leaf piles. But I mean, Shriners Hill was just an incredible opportunity for young boys, you know, to, you know, to have fun and probably get in trouble too, you know. But it was a nice nice place to go and play. So we, you know, spent quite a bit of time down there.
Mostly the same things. I had a friend who lived over on Ross Lane on the other side of Shriners Hill, so we would get together and play over there. We'd ride our bikes over there. There's an old dirt road that went to the top of the hill. Just exploring. I don't know what the kids do, build forts and, you know, whatever.
What was Grandin Road like then? Were there stores and shops?
The Grandin Road commercial area was very much the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were stores down there now that are long gone. The Micromac grocery store was at the corner of Grandin Road and Westover, across from where the drugstore was. I think, is there a bookstore in there now or something? That was the Micromac grocery store, and the building that's presently the food co-op was the Kroger store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a little tiny stone church, and I think it was the precursor to the Presbyterian Church here, where we are now. And it was right next to the little alley that goes down.
McVay's
Hardware. Well, it was next door to McVay's Hardware, and there's an office supply store in there now. But they tore that little stone church down to put that building in.
That was a
pretty little building.
Yeah.
Had a little wrought iron fence around it.
Of course, the big attraction down there was the theater and the Saturday morning kitty show.
Saturday morning kitty show.
Sort of like they still do.
But do they? I do.
They have free kitty shows one Saturday a month.
Well, it wasn't free when we went. It cost all of 15 cents.
Oh. I was going to ask you if you remembered what it was.
15 cents, wow. Yeah. And I seem to remember when we started going down there in 1948, it had just gone up from a dime.
And they had a wonderful thing to keep you coming back. Before they showed you the show, they showed you a sort of a serial.
It was a serial.
Like a soap opera type of thing. And it, you know,
it
never ended.
Saturday.
So every week you had to come back to see what happened. You know, and I can't remember. What were they all about? What were the cowboys?
There were,
most of the movies were cowboys.
Most of the movies were westerns.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one series of Superman.
That's right. Yeah.
And they would show you like about a 15 or 20 minute episode, and then they would leave you hanging, and you had to come back next week to find out what happened.
But that theater would be packed.
They would show the serial, and then they would show a cartoon, and then the feature. As I say, it was usually a Western. That's where I got acquainted with John Wayne.
What else did you do downtown? There was a library.
Let's see.
You know, down on Grandin Road?
I think it was around the corner on Memorial Avenue, and I believe it's where Spike's is.
No. It's where the ice cream parlor is.
Ice cream parlor, okay.
That's where the library was.
All right. You see, I'm having senior moments. I can't remember these things.
And his memory is much better than mine, so.
What did you find? I mean, I'm trying to think. Have you seen a lot of changes on Carter or Greenwood?
I thought about that also. I, I don't think that there are that many changes. I mean, the biggest change to Raleigh Court, I would think, would have to be the high school, you know, when that was built in 61. It opened in 61. But, you know, other than that, I can't think of any big changes that have happened in Raleigh Court. It's pretty much, you know.
The interesting thing about Carter Road was when we were growing up there, there were kids there our age everywhere. And all the kids grew up, moved away, wherever. And the parents got older, and, you know, some have died, some have moved to other places, apartments. And now it's starting all over. The younger people are moving in again.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the children in the neighborhoods. It's history repeating itself.
Have a lot of your particular associates actually stayed in Omaha, or you just still see a lot of people?
People our age that we went to school with?
A few.
I have, let's see. Well, now just a couple of them have retired. You know, they went off and they retired and they've come back. I have a couple of those. I don't think there's anybody that I really know well now that just stayed in Roanoke. They all moved away somewhere and then they've come back, and invariably they talk about how much they missed Roanoke and how beautiful Roanoke is and how happy they are to be back in Roanoke. And of course, I've been dreaming of coming back for 20 years probably. But
what pulled you back?
Well, my retirement.
No,
you know,
I mean, what you say you're dreaming of coming
back. I don't know. I just when I moved to Miami, I thought I would go down there for a year, you know, and play around. And then I met my wife and got married, and then we had children, and then, of course, I was hired, you know, teaching position, and I think there was one time where I seriously thought about coming back, came close to moving back, but didn't. And then by that time, the children were of an age where, you know, they didn't want to move. And then at some point, I'm thinking, you know, I've got to stay to get my retirement, you know. So the dream was that after I retire, to move back. And now that my wife and I are both retired, now we have two children, neither that are not married and unsettled, and so we, you know, we'll probably stay there until they, you know, maybe get settled themselves. I don't know.
I guess I'm wondering what you found so intriguing
about
Roanoke versus where you were living.
Well, the mountains, I think, is a big part of it. I was fascinated with the weather in Florida and the beaches when I first went there, but I've had so many skin cancers taken on my face now I can't count, so I don't go in the sun anymore. We don't go to the beaches, and the summers are brutal, and I just love the mountains. I miss the mountains. We were just talking before we came over here that we bought some property in Craig County where our parents are from. We bought that 15 years ago, and we're talking about building a cabin over there, some place, a weekend place that we could go, you know, and use. So that would be a big attraction if we ever get that built.
And you stayed. How many changes you've seen? What do you think are the biggest changes you've seen?
In the Raleigh Court area?
Well,
or the city in general? It's hard to say. In the city in general, I think the biggest change I've seen is the use of the downtown area. It's no longer a commercial area, of course. Back when we were growing up, all the department stores were there. That's where you went to shop. No shopping centers. You know, of course, Roanoke is kind of landlocked now. There's not a whole lot of change that can be made. And I haven't seen a whole lot of changes in the residential areas.
I was thinking along those lines. I mean, when we were young, the idea of going out to a restaurant was a pretty special thing.
Yeah, there was very special.
Archie's Townhouse was here, and there was one other place. What was the other restaurant? It was a seafood restaurant.
It was a seafood
on
restaurant.
Williamson Road.
Well, originally it was on Franklin Road.
Was it?
And they moved to Williamson Road. Yeah.
But that was, you know, I mean, going out to eat with your family, I mean, that was a big deal. I mean, only a couple of restaurants in Roanoke to go to.
Yeah.
What kind of activities did they do when you were growing up? What kinds of
Well, the kid, we had Sandlot football teams and baseball. We did a lot of just pickup baseball. Two guys would get together and get up a couple of teams, and down on Shrine Hill we'd go. Right off of Grandin Road, the first 100 yards or so was open field. It was level. And we'd set up a football field or a baseball field and just spend the whole day playing.
I was saying that Valley Court didn't have a community center.
No, not at that time.
Because we went, where is it? When you go up Tillett Road, isn't Tillett the one that goes off of Grandin, goes up the...
Guilford.
Guilford. And what's that area over there?
There was a Grandin Court Center.
Yeah, Grandin Court Community Center.
Community center.
Well, it was just,
it was a little building, and they had a, it was just a big area inside where you could have, I think they had... They had a lot of board games that you could go in there and play.
But on Friday night, they had dances. And I remember from the seventh grade on going over there every Friday night. They had a jukebox. And, you know, it was just crowded with, you know, probably junior high school age kids. That was an exciting time, you know.
Were there ice cream parties or soda shop, any of that kind of stuff around here?
At the Dairy Fountain.
That's right.
Is at the corner of Carter Road and Brandon, where the little Hop In is
now. It's the Hop In store.
And it was a little place called the Dairy Fountain, and they had a soda fountain there with the tall stools you could sit up on and order whatever ice cream confections you wanted. They sold the usual magazines and candy bars and things like that.
But that was the hangout after, when you went to Woodrow Wilson, when you got out of school, yeah. Everybody went down to the Dairy Fountain and hung out. I mean, probably 100 students and, milling around.
And twice a year you'd have the big yo-yo contests at the Dairy Fountain.
That's right.
The Dunkin' Yo-Yos, mm-hmm. And they had a representative, and they were usually Filipinos, because mm-hmm. apparently they were just great with yo-yos. And they'd come around and hold yo-yo contests.
Were there a lot of
Filipinos here? Mm-mm. No. I don't ever recall seeing anyone of Asian extract when we were growing up in Roanoke.
It was a pretty homogeneous group of people, I think, at that time.
Did your family, your children grow up here too?
My son grew up in Roanoke. Yeah. No, he moved to Wyoming. Lives in Jackson Hole and is a 38-year-old ski bum.
No, he's not a ski bum.
No, he's not. He's the number two man in a public relations firm out there in Jackson. So he's done pretty well, but he does do a lot of skiing.
Now, did he go to the same schools you went to? I noticed you mentioned Virginia Heights. Mm-hmm. What schools did you go to?
We went to Virginia Heights,
where our aunt was the
principal.
Where
our aunt was the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thought we had it so easy because she was the principal, but she was twice as hard on us as she was on anybody else.
I don't know. I think the teachers were scared of us.
But then we went to Woodrow, and then Jefferson High School.
Well, I graduated from Patrick.
By the time Ed became a senior, Patrick Henry was finished. I guess you spent your senior year there?
2 years.
2 years, okay.
And your son went to
My son went to North Cross.
So when you came back, what was the first thing? Did you notice it? Obviously, you were coming back and visiting.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I've been back every year, sometimes two and three times a year. And for the last 3 or 4 years, I've spent the summers up here. I was here enough to see, I guess, changes taking place. But there again, you know, in Raleigh Court, they're just... I mean, with the Grandin Road area has changed again. You know, they've redone the area down there, and I think that's great. I hope that all the businesses down there do well and it continues. I'd like to see it grow. But yeah, other than that area, I mean, it's not too much changes. And of course, the Dury Fountain is no longer there.
No. And unfortunately, McVeigh's Hardware is not there anymore. Sorry to see them go.
Well, there was another one. Now that I think about it, there was another sort of drugstore right over the hill from us. You know where the All Sports Cafe is? When we were in junior high school, there was a wasn't a drugstore, but a soda fountain.
It was
type
a soda fountain
on the corner,
type thing.
And there was a gas station next to that.
Yeah, it was an Esso station.
Esso station.
That's how long it's been gone.
And then I remember a man from New York came down, and he opened the first pizza business in Roanoke in that building that was the soda fountain. And that was a big hangout. When we went to the Grand and Court Community Center that I just mentioned, everybody would leave there and then come down to the pizza shop. And I remember just thinking, what an odd food that was, pizza. I'd never seen it before.
Thank you for sharing, Juvenile. Thank you for sharing this with us. I know we're going to, there may be an opportunity where people want to follow up with you. Would it be okay if they gave you a call?
Certainly.
Sure. Okay, that's great.
Just one more closing thing. If you wouldn't mind explicitly stating your names into the microphone so that we can make that way sure that we can differentiate the voices when we go to record this stuff on paper.
Okay.
That'd be great if you wouldn't mind. Just
well, I'm Ed Simpson.
And I'm Bob Simpson.
Fantastic. Thanks.
All right.
Now, I guess we're supposed to have a release.